Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Struggling! Stuck!
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Jaren's Outpost vlog. Before we get into whatever we're going to talk about today, let's just say, whoa!
Wowaweeza!
Holy
bravo!
Freaking macaroni!
Congratulations to us and to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
A million billion thank yous from us to you.
I thought I was very behind on how much money we'd made.
Thank you so much for $1 million.
$1 million? Is that much money, dude, in the world?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, we're doing very well for ourselves.
Go on to Jaren's Outpost, the board game. It's insane.
No, genuinely. From the bottom of our hearts, we kind of thank you enough for what everybody's pledged. It's far exceeded any of my expectations.
Yeah, 100%. It's crazy because, again, I think I've mentioned this before. Mm. Maybe one of the perhaps the Sans Pants Plus Discord, but it is this, like, it's weird running a comedy network, like a comedy show. Like, all the stuff we do is it's mostly comedy.
Mm, yeah.
It's comedy based. It's because of that very nature. It's hard sometimes to either come across as genuine or to actually be genuinely, I am.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've been in situations where I am being very genuine in my personal life. Mm.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, yucking it all up. But
yeah, no, I'm being very sincere right now.
But yeah, so it is crazy to think, like, yeah, it has surpassed our
well, yeah, I mean, you know, I trusted that we'd made a good enough game and that we had enough fans who loved what we did and wanted to support us that when we launched that we would get funded. Like, I was like, that's a lock. Okay. Yeah. Like, that's, I think we can get there. And then for that to happen in 4 hours,
yeah.
For me to go to sleep and then wake up and it's been done. I just couldn't believe it. And then I kept on being like, well, holy shit. Okay, you know, obviously there's the rush at the beginning, but it will slow down. And I mean, yes, a little bit, but it's still every day I wake up and it's going up again and it's going up again. There's still people who want to pledge.
I feel the exact same way.
Us.
Yeah, I keep expecting, like, to wake up and to see the number hasn't meaningfully changed and that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's truly crazy. How many people are still continuing to support? Like, I
thought we were going to, get there, like, all right, cool, we'll do, because we did a stream directly after, like, you know, when we woke up for us,
because
it launched 3 a.m. Our time, so we were like, oh, yeah, about 9 a.m., we'll do a stream. I honestly thought we'd be like, during the stream, we'd be like, hey, we've been funded.
Then we'd be like, oh, we're so close, like, we just need a couple more people to pledge and we'll get funded, but we were, you know, well and truly there by the time we started the stream, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I think the craziest thing for me and this being a success, and I was thinking about this the day we streamed when I was waiting for the train to go home, I was like, it's crazy that now I can say I'm a board game developer. That's a title that I legitimately have.
Yeah.
I can say, if I'm at a party and I meet someone, they say, what do you do? I say, oh, I'm a podcaster. Embarrassing. Humiliating experience. And a board game developer. Intriguing. Wow. And true. Like, that's the weirdest part. It's real.
Yeah.
I really have developed a board game.
Yeah, yeah. It's tangible. It's there.
It's happened. That's absurd. It feels crazy.
See it. I just did it.
Exactly.
What's that line from...
see it, touch it, taste it. Taste, but don't feel.
Devil's Advocate.
Is that what you mean?
Are we being Al Pacino?
It's a line from The Producers.
Look, but don't taste. Taste, but don't swallow.
Is that the one you mean?
No,
I keep trying to tell you, but you keep talking over me.
Well, look, you give us a little iota of maybe doing Al Pacino, we're going to take
it. Exactly, dude. You got to
understand. Don't Pacino us.
Yeah. Well, if we get Pacino'd, I mean,
if I Pacino back, can I get attention?
Huge ass.
Yes, Adam. Okay. What did
you say? Huge ass. Yes.
The producers with
you did say that
with Brooks? Matthew Broderick and with Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane. Yeah.
See it, touch it, taste it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, that's a reference that I think a lot of people will get. I think the comments are going to be filled.
I wonder if we got more the people listening and watching. I wonder if they are more likely to be Devil's Advocate fans or producers fans.
Let us know.
You can split the entire Sans Pants listenership into two categories.
I was doing a stream the other day, and I was playing Doom 64.
Yeah.
And I promise this is going to be a very short tangent.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
I was playing Doom 64, and I realized that the majority of my audience was so young they had never played any of the Dooms before, like Doom Eternal.
That's crazy, dude. We've, on Thumb Cramps, become kind of obsessed with trying to find a PSP, I think, what are they called? UMD, which is like the videos that you can play on the PSP of Glengarry Glen Ross.
I was there when it happened.
And I know, yes, you were too. And I know every time we talk about it that most of our listeners are like, what's this?
Glengarry Glen
Ross? Gotta watch it. It's a great movie.
You'd know the references at least.
I was being the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I see.
Theater of the mind.
That's something I didn't get.
but no, anyway, so yeah, genuinely, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Mm. I mean, it's not over yet, which is also crazy.
Two weeks as of time of recording.
Yeah.
2 weeks still on the thing. I remember when we were doing that stream, I remember thinking to myself, man, it'd be really nice, like, if we got 50K.
Yeah.
That'd be really good. I mean, maybe we have enough time to get 50K still.
Yeah.
We're at, like, 64 time of recording.
Yeah, which is just, it's like, I can't believe it.
And 2 weeks
it's
to go.
It's this kind of weird thing where you're like, hey, cool, I know how much to get funded. And this is like, you know, cool. To get funded was like, sweet, that means that we'll have enough to print and ship and do all that kind of stuff, which means that fantastic. And I guess to let a little bit of, like, you know, behind the scenes in terms of, like, how much it's going to cost and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like, look, that was a loss sort of thing. And so it's this kind of thing of, like, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I'm like, we've made this thing and we never made it to just, you know, try and make money.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of heartbreaking to not have people play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, obviously there is, you know, you can pretend that it's not true, but there is this element of like, well, we've invested so much time in it. To have some kind of reward, some kind of tangible reward would be amazing.
Yeah.
But really, if that doesn't happen, it doesn't really matter because what is more rewarding somehow is seeing people taking it, having a board game night, and playing this thing that we've worked so hard on.
Yeah, like that's...
I don't know, this thing that we're very proud of and that we put so much time into. That's like, that kind of was the primary driving force.
I remember that moment, Joel, that you were talking about where I think we were at around 50K when we hit around that. That was when you sat down and you properly, like...
Went back all the years and looked at some of the invoices for all the art and all that kind of stuff.
And I'm like, we were sitting at about 200% funded.
Yeah.
And you were like, boys, we broke even.
It's, you know, it is that thing. But, like, we were so ready for that not to happen.
Yeah.
And that's okay with that not happening, you know.
Yeah, like, and I think, as we mentioned before, many of the things we've done, it's like, yes, it's taken 7 years to get here. And in those 7 years, so much has happened.
Mm.
And a lot of the artwork that we've gotten done has been within that first, like, 2 years development.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of, like, you know, the operational costs or whatever was kind of like, you know, that's kind of already been, you know, been done with. And it's kind of like my own dumb brain to be just like, well, that's gone. That was eaten up when, you know, like 7 years ago. It's fine. It's all part of, like, you know, the profit and loss of, like, you know, a company.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever, who cares?
Mm.
And so, like, you know, sure. So should I have kept track? Of course.
Yes.
But am I keeping track now?
Ish. Yeah, enough. Probably.
Our lesson has been learned.
We're not good at learning lessons. It's not for us.
So this weird thing to be like, yeah, cool. Like, you know, sure, we've got, like, and there's a lot more that went in, like, this year.
Yeah.
And is going in this year because, again, like, print costs are going to be quite expensive because, you know, just that when you're printing that much and, like, you're printing all this kind of stuff, yeah, it's going to cost like something like say, I want to say, like, 16K Australian.
Yeah.
Right about that in terms of just the print run. And so, like, yeah, all these things kind of, you know, will cost money and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of the things, you know, that we've have spent money on has been, you know, in the past. So for me, I'm just like, yeah, it's gone. But you're like, it was my wife, was like, hey, just maybe add up just for your own sake.
Just do the math like, on hey, that, yeah.
You know, I understand that you're excited and this is all done and you like doing this, but, you know, just see if it is, you know, viable, mm. something you want to, you know, pursue as well. Like, I think I've mentioned one of the episodes where I'm like, I had so much fun doing this. I get when people who make sort of like either a certain genre of film.
Yeah.
I think Tarantino did it with, or when he did after, was it Kill Bill? Where he's like, cool, I really want to make like a martial arts
film. Yeah, because I've now done now the, that I've yeah, for
learned
sure.
so much here, I really want to go and make a martial arts film. And I kind of feel the same kind of thing now with this, which is like, you know, I was feeling that way anyway before we launched, because I'm like, oh, we learned so much about this. I'm really looking forward to making the next one.
Mm.
And but like, you know, say if it had tanked.
Yes, yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's day six and no one's pledged yet.
$100 or whatever. Yes. It's like, you know.
It's kind of like a little bit. It is like external validation to be like, sure, oh, yeah, cool. That is something that we could and like, you know, pursue if we wanted
to. You know, like I think there's this weird thing as well where with a podcast, like just like to bring it back to even that. You know, we get in here, you know, like every day in a week sometimes. Mm-hmm. You do like a couple episodes and then it kind of just disappears into the ether. And then people listen to it and you can see the stats or whatever. You can look at that. But you just kind of don't – the connection between the people, you know, all of you out there that are listening to this and doing it, sometimes it's hard to see that connection.
Mm.
So I think in a way it is really validating to see how quickly that we got funded to be like, oh, that's right, you're all kind of out there. You know what I mean? You have been listening and you have been following this for the last 7 years. Like you are, I don't know, I think there's something very rewarding about that.
100%.
You know, and of course there is this idea of like, well, you got to get your internal validation from it anyway, which I think we do. But like at the same time, it's very nice to see. Yeah.
It's been wonderful to wake up and just kind of like refresh and see like what's happening, to see it's just like, you know, we have stretch goals and it was like, oh yeah, maybe we'll get them, maybe we won't. I really, really hope we do. And then it's like, okay, we're going through them and it's fantastic. And so like, you know, we're a few hundred dollars away as of time of recording for like the next stretch goal.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, wow, cool.
That's crazy.
I didn't think we'd be there now.
And
as you said, Adam, was like, there is still like 2 weeks to go. Mm.
A long time.
At the time of recording.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, wow. Yeah, no, okay, cool. Like, there's a chance we can, you know, because we put so much time, energy, love into developing the extra bonus characters.
Yeah. I know. It's that thing where you're like, it would be such a shame for them not to get out there. Like, because how sad. Then they just sit here forever. So it's very exciting every time somebody's unlocked. You go, oh, fuck yeah, they get to play as Evelyn Plain. Or fuck yeah, they get to play as Flipsham. Yeah.
I remember when, I forget who, we were talking with someone about funding and stuff like that. And they asked you, what's your like moonshot, basically? What's your like, oh my God, this would be like the upper end of what you think is achievable, basically. And you know, first of course we did the 100 million billion
joke.
After that you were like, kind of seriously, I guess $100,000
$100,000,
you were like, that'd
pie
be
in the sky.
That'd be like,
that'd be just like, dang, man.
I actually could not conceive of us making a number higher than that. That's literally like, if for some reason the government gets involved and is like, we need to fund this board game. Yeah. That's how much money I imagine we'd get.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like right now I'm sitting here looking at 100K and I kind of feel, you know, if I can knock on wood.
Yeah.
But I feel right now the same way I felt when we did the stream looking at 50K.
Oh, I guess that's like achievable. Yeah. That's
like,
insane.
No, not even like that. Being like, oh man, I feel like 100K is still like, it still feels moonshotty.
Yes, okay.
Like it still feels almost out of reach.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is, I'm looking back.
50 felt out of reach.
Yeah, I'm looking back on that moment when I thought 50 felt out of reach and thinking, well, I mean, like, we got the 50.
Yeah.
I'm so cautiously, tentatively optimistic, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is crazy to think that, like, you know, even in my own head, I'm like, yeah, but we're not going to get 100K.
Yeah, of course.
We're not.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's, like, it's 14 days.
And then I think, you know, there's that, but then also like looking at the amount of people backing. And sometimes I look at the amount of people who've backed and I go, every one of them will get to play the board game I made. Mm. That's like, you know, 500 people or whatever that are going to be taking that board game home.
Something that someone did was, I didn't think about this. Mm. I was talking to someone about this and they were like, how many players is the board game? Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's like 2 to 5 is what we recommend.
Yeah.
And they took, I forget how many backers we had at that moment, but they were like, oh, crazy, like 1,500. And I was like, no. I said we had 300 backers or whatever it was. And they were like, yeah, that's how many board games, but how many people playing?
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's 2 to 5.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You're like, of course. Fuck, yeah.
That's right.
They're not solo playing it. They're playing it with friends.
You know, yeah, it's truly
if
unbelievable.
If you're like me, you might, you know, get the Garfield plushie out and you might play your board game with that. Yeah, it's easier when you're doing it with Monopoly, I think.
But it's crazy. Like, again, can't thank everybody who's pledged and donated.
I'm normal, by the way.
We know.
You all know I'm normal,
bro,
right?
I know you're normal.
And I've always been normal.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, dude. It's okay. Everybody plays board games. As a kid, I had the Pokemon trading card game, and I just bought heaps of the little shiny tokens. You know, it came with little, like, glass beads that you would put on to, like, I don't know what they indicated.
I remember them, yeah.
Because I never really played the game. I just bought heaps of the beads because I just loved holding them.
Friend of the show, Hayden, freaking loves the digital card game.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't care for the card game. I care for the beads.
Yeah. You're there for beads.
I'm in it for beads.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I certainly, you know, very occasionally would play, like, you know, Magic the Gathering kind of stuff like that. But again, it was like, yeah, you just don't really...
I didn't know you played Magic the
Gathering. Didn't have too many people to play with, so... Yeah, no. Froth me Magic the Gathering. What I don't like about it is the weirdly, I don't like the deck building.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I like having the deck and then doing what I can. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think there's something, because both you and Joel Dusha both kind of like playing Magic the Gathering. And maybe you do too, Adam. I don't know.
No.
But it's this, it always feels, as an outside observer, like this cliff you could both fall off.
Oh,
yeah.
Anytime it comes up,
you get this glint in your eyes, and I'm like, I gotta, it's like you're about to become werewolves.
Dude.
I gotta chain my boys there.
Yeah, you need to.
I can't let it take them over.
Recently, within the year, I want to say, they had like, it almost looked like Mouse Guard.
Oh, interesting.
They teamed up with, I forget who it was, but it was just like, you know, like anthropomorphic little critters. And I'm a sucker.
Yeah, dude, that is your
point. Oh, my Lord. You know what I'm actually...
Kibble for Joel's Abbott.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm kind of looking forward to? When we can play a board game that isn't Jaren's Outpost.
Dude. Yes, I'm going away this weekend. Yeah. I'm looking forward to, like, playing some of the board games that aren't this.
Absolutely.
Like, our game. Yeah. As much as fun it is.
Well, and again, you know, I did an interview on the ABC recently.
That was crazy,
which was insane for me to do. But as part of that, they were like, "You're still enjoying the game," and I was like, "I am."
Mm.
You know, hundreds and hundreds of playtests in, I'm still having a great time playing this board game, which is crazy. Mm. Like, I'm excited to play new board games, but if you were like, Jackson, we need to play test this, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll get into it. You know, I like it when I win. Yeah, me too. Well, we thought today, what we would talk about is, so one of the main aspects, one of the, I think the sort of like the cornerstones, I suppose you could say, of the Jaren's Outpost board game is this idea of a kind of screwing over your friends, right?
Yes.
Of like backstabbings, betrayals, because that was a huge part of what made Jaren's Outpost the campaign great, and we were like, well, we got to translate that to the board game. But that's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
That's a delicate line to walk.
Yeah. So
today we talk about how do you walk that line? How do you make a game that's mean but not too mean?
Because for the longest time, I think I was probably the most resistant to
this.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I
really?
Kept,
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, and like, there's not really a problem with it, but I think that's like a lot of your mentality, even when it comes to like D&D in general, is you're like, you like a cohesiveness, which I think is fair enough.
I think it's cohesive, sure, but I think it's like again, maybe the your youngest sibling.
Yeah, true.
Hey, keep the peace.
Chill.
Everyone chill.
Yeah.
I get
not fight. Yeah.
Kind of like a version of that I get typically, which is like, I don't mind, like, Jaren's Outpost is kind of like the perfect level of competition.
Bless you.
Like
sure. Jackson?
Yeah.
Jaren's Outpost is the, for those of you only listening to this, he just gave me a standing ovation. Jaren's Outpost is kind of like the perfect level of competition that I'm comfortable with in a board game, where, yes, we are competing with each other to see who gets the highest score, but we're not directly fighting each other. Like a game like Risk, stresses me the fuck out.
I've never played Risk in my life.
A stressful game, you'd hate it.
I played Risk only once at like a getaway with a bunch of friends that I don't really see anymore. And I think it was possibly the worst way to be introduced to Risk, because I was like on the outside of this friendship group too.
And I was just like,
I don't know what's going on. And then I just, I don't know, I was probably doing something stupid by being like, you know, you're like, trying to make deals and be like, hey, you want to become best friends with Uruguay or whatever? Come on,
making deals. Wheeling and dealing and Risk.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a bad time.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so what I mean to say is like, not the competition, but I guess it's like, I always use like Everdell because it's the one that like, most recent in my mind. There's like a card you can play, which is like the Fool, which will like, you can play it into someone else's village. And like, so Everdell, the whole thing is like, you know, it's, you're building a city and you have like, say, 15 cards maximum is your city.
Yeah.
And so, and that includes people and buildings.
So is it like Dominion? It's like a card building.
I haven't played Dominion. I've seen, I've watched as you played Dominion, but I haven't actually played
it. Is Everdell then all cards?
And worker placement. So it's worker placement and cards.
Okay.
Kind of like if you imagine Viticulture, but if at the same time you had like a deck that you were building.
It's been so long, I actually don't remember how to play Viticulture. So anyway, keep going.
And so like, 15 like slots basically for what you have. And there's a one card in it, which is called the Fool. And you can play it in someone else's town, basically, which will not only take up a slot, it is also worth less points or like even negative points or 0 points.
Right.
And it's quite mean. And I know if I get it, I will play it.
Mm.
And the thing is, I often play it with, say, my wonderful wife. or some other friends. And I'm like, I know I could play this.
Yeah.
Because, again, I'm that kind of piece of shit that I'm like, well, I want to win.
Well, exactly.
And it's that strategy brain kicks in. And I'm like, well, this makes sense to win. So I'm going to win. I'm sorry. And I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be too mean.
And I assume Joel Zammit, as a man who has a brain for board games specifically, I imagine this is a consideration that you have to have very often.
Mm.
But it is funny when you're playing with people that you love and it's a competitive game, especially if it's kind of a vicious competitive game, where you're making that move and the move is essentially you saying, hey, I love you very much.
Yeah.
But not only I'm going to beat you, right?
Yeah.
Now, but not only am I going to beat you, I'm going to crush you. I'm going to crush you into the dirt. And then I'm going to take your resources and I'm going to use them to crush your sister.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh,
or whoever, you know, if you're playing with family members.
But but it's very funny because I remember the one, I think I've played Everdell maybe two times. Mm. And I remember getting the Fool and being like, oh, I cannot wait to put him in somewhere. Like, that was the most exciting moment for me.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, who's going to get the Fool?
And again, it's great because, again, in my head, it like hits that kind of like,
yeah.
But also, no, I'm like, no, I'm too mean. Because I've already got the reputation of like mostly in the friendship. Of like already winning, and it just feels like a more of a dick move on my behalf. You know,
you are.
It does feel like
you're.
But are they going to win this?
Why did you need to do this?
Why are you fucking me? You're going to win.
And I'm like, I'm sorry
for sure.
We know you're going to win.
We don't know that for sure. I'm like, yes, we do. I'm like, So when it came to like, how to directly involve and like fuck over your other players with this game, again, a lot of me was very much being more resistant and being more like restraint and pulling it back. Because I kept imagining...
For when we playtest, saving us from the embarrassment of losing handily to you and you're fucking us.
So sort of things like, you know, stealing from the players or from like, you know, attacking other players or from like, oh, you know, this item might make you drop something or take it off you, this whatever. And so I was very resistant to that because like all I kept remembering was that one player, and again, we all maybe know this person, and we all maybe you know, either are still friends with this person
or dread anymore, playing board games with this person
because they take it to heart and they get real stroppy and they get real shitty. And I guess like, you know, you can't help but, you know, when you're playing these kind of games or even any kind of board games, it's like, you know, because like, I think it's that weird thing where like trying to remember like back in like, you know, high school times, like, you know, when you play something like Magic the Gathering, actually, I can remember like having this one deck, and it's called like the Slivers deck, and it was like a cunty deck. Like, it was the worst deck to play with because you're like, all right, cool, all my creatures now, they go plus one, plus one, okay, and now they're flying. flying, and they have trample, and they can teleport, and they're all wizards.
Yeah.
And they think you're a big piss baby.
That's so funny.
Anyway, I win.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. You know, playing that against someone, and like, you know, and they were a good friend, and I'm like, they got stropping.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I've known that guy. I've played with that guy.
And I kept speaking like, you know, I don't want to kill friendships. Yeah. My God.
But then, you know, there's this piece of advice. It's writing advice, but I forget who it may be. Stephen
Probably
King.
Probably me.
Probably Adam, actually. My good friend Adam gave me this piece of advice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where he was like,
I'm often confused. My writing is often confused with Stephen King.
Yeah. That's true. You're often writing about writers.
Because we're both high on cocaine.
Hey! But whoever this writer was, they were like, you know, don't write for the person that's going to hate your book. They're like, write for the hypothetical person for whom your book is going to hit them in the exact perfect place. Mm. And so I think I've always had that mentality with our board game where I'm like, yes, that guy is out there, but he's not my ideal player.
Yeah.
If he's getting stroppy, that's his business. It's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
My ideal player is the person who gets fucked over in this game and goes, man, that's awesome. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I fuck over someone next.
Oh, that's the way I can fuck you over? Okay.
Okay, sick. Yeah, good. I'm going to do that then.
Yeah. So but I get it, because also that guy will probably play this game.
Yeah.
You know, just statistically.
Yeah.
So it is that fine line to walk. And I like to think, even though I'm like, yeah, whatever, screw that guy, that still the game is designed in such a way that the screwing over that does happen is it's less likely to make that guy furious, you know?
Yeah, I think we've
that's the balance.
Now had that kind of like really fine line, especially when it's like, cool, quests are pretty quick to achieve. Yep. And so they're kind of, you know, okay, yep, these quests, we want them to kind of be able to churn through them so that, hey, if someone beats you to the punch, that sucks, next one.
You got another option.
So, if someone steals the item that you were going to do or the person you were going to do and they did it instead of you, you're like, yeah, it's fine. But ultimately, maybe you've lost, you know, you didn't get the point, but now it's like, oh, okay, those extra, maybe two turns, you're like, well, that's only two turns.
All you're losing is a little bit of progress.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where I feel.
I think there's a little bit as well of like the, do you remember when you're a kid? And this is something that, going back to a much earlier topic of talking about how I am old compared to some people. Mm. But do you remember back in the day, you'd go over to a friend's house and you'd play Guitar Hero, and you didn't have Guitar Hero, they had Guitar Hero, so they were really good, you were not so good.
Yes.
And it was very apparent.
I remember. I have this experience too, yes.
I think that, and I hope the nature that our board game can only really be played with multiple people, I hope that kind of negates this, because I think a lot of the like fucking over that happens to another player, there is obviously the location, the Surefoot School for Wayward Children, which has the very obvious and very designed effect of you can steal from another player.
Yeah.
Aside from that, a lot of the other like items and abilities that fuck over other players are the sort of thing that you really only, you need to be a bit good or know a little bit about the game before you can start really thinking about and playing with. Because I think, I believe, a new time player, something like the loot, which can bring an NPC to you. You can use that to take an NPC from a backpack from someone else.
Not stealing.
There are items that let you do things like that.
Yeah, sure. I think, with the stretch goals, I think we've like added some like NPCs and stuff where you can like also steal from other players.
Yeah.
Then perhaps like the spellbook, which allows you to imitate something that is in someone else's backpack.
Yeah, sure.
And then using the spellbook to undercut someone like that I wouldn't describe it as high level play, but it's not something that you might necessarily think of.
Well,
on
I think
the
way
time.
The board game is designed, and this happened to us through playtesting quite a bit, and then when we added the new stuff, like you discover these weird combinations as well, where there's a lot of like new tech unlocked kind of moments. Like, for example, being like, because is it the grappling hook lets you move to any location?
Yeah, it's like grab an item or move to any location.
Yeah, so with that, you're like, I could use the blank spellbook as the grappling hook to move myself to someone else's location to drop off this item at their,
whoever's in their
backpack to kind of still use it. And that is like a high level. Mm. But so, yeah, there is some level of like, once you get to learn the game more, you're like, oh, wait, I can do this. Oh, wait, I can do that. Yeah.
And I bring that up to say, I think something that was frustrating back in the day of not being as good at the game as the person who owned the game. Something frustrating about that is if you were just on a similar playing level, it wouldn't be such a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the other player fucking mechanics are kind of require a higher level of skill. And if everyone is at that higher level of skill, then it feels better, I think. I could very easily imagine someone getting a bit frustrated at the idea of like, oh, I didn't realize that I could do that. I could use the blank spell book as the grappling hook to move over here. Yeah. And I hadn't thought of that. But because it's like a multiple person, I forget where I was going with this. God damn it.
Well, is it the kind of idea that once somebody does that to you, you go, oh, I can do that. You know what I mean? That's what I think. Like, I'm playing a game with someone. I've not played the game before. Somebody does that to me. I go, oh, I can do that to them. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I see where this is at.
Oh, you've shown me that that's a strategy I can use.
Cool.
It's funny to think about with this game that very early on, because if you'll remember, and we've spoken about this before, initially you had your own quests, or you just shared a quest with the person to your left.
Yes.
And when that happened, the reason we changed that is we were like, oh, there are players that aren't interacting in like a four-player game. And then deciding, making the decision that everybody has access to or is required to complete all the quests that they affect everybody. That was another moment of like, oh, now you're truly fucking people over.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because I think when it was like, oh, just the person to your left you're sharing it with, we had this idea of like, well, you know, you might have a quest that requires Laura Fillmore over here, you know, between these two people and between those two people. So you're kind of fucking each other over, but it wasn't so direct. No. You know what I mean? You weren't trying to complete the same quest.
I think it was to try and encourage direct competition.
Because
then if you and I are sharing a quest where, I mean, like, you maybe have that quest over there, but it feels, everyone has two quests, but it feels way more in direct competition when we're looking at this, we're both looking at this one quest being like, only one of us is getting it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so because initially it was that, you know, one person, you had your solo quest, which was like, it was, it was fun, it was fine.
Yeah.
But it honestly felt like I was playing a single player game and my friends were also in the same vicinity.
Yeah.
God, I remember solo quests.
Yeah, and it just felt a little bit like,
It just wasn't as exciting.
And also, like, the solo quest didn't really, like, double up.
So yeah.
There was no, like, you know, you needed, like, this particular item in NPC. Usually the other person did not.
Yeah,
and it was very much like I'm single track, single mindedly doing this one thing, and it was like,
yeah.
We realized that more important, I think, what we realized is more important than we both need this item is he's going for that item.
Yes.
Which playing open with the quests, everyone having the same quests, and everyone knowing what someone could be going to.
That
causes more direct competition than being like, oh, is Zammit going to the outpost? Is he going to get an item from the outpost?
Yeah, what's he looking for?
And so there was like, you know, from that to then being like, all right, we'll share with the person to your left. And so that was like, cool. Well, then everyone is sharing. Like, everyone's got two quests. So that, like, you know, if you're a combat character or, more of a fetch character, you can kind of like, oh, hopefully just by pure RNG, maybe you're going to get one that's kind of benefits you. And then it was like, oh, yeah, cool. And then because, you know, this is three of us.
Yeah.
We kept doing a lot of three-player games. But then it's like, you know, okay, well, what about we do four players or five players? And then you're like, yeah, cool. So, yeah, me and you are interacting. Me and you are interacting. But then me and you, well,
not really.
I am never really doing anything. And then we had this, like, you know, moment of like, okay, well, in that situation, do you either A, have to, how do you include them into, like, you know, direct competition? Or is like, or B, do you go, okay, is there something we can do to be like, well, I'm in direct competition with these guys, but maybe you and I are friends.
Yes.
You and I are friends. And so, you know, we kind of toyed around with that for a little bit, but ultimately we fell to the side of like, no, well, why don't everyone can do all the quests?
Absolutely. It is funny to think there was a period of time where we were like, maybe this game will involve a kind of wheeling and dealing aspect
of that.
Like being able to make deals with other people or whatever. And I mean, obviously, there's nothing in the rules that explicitly forbids that. If you, in the game, have the gold nugget and the person opposite you has a, I don't know, silver steel, and you're like, hey, trade me. And they say, yes, you can, or whatever. It's your game.
Look, I would argue, make that explicit before the game starts.
Yes,
rules, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because again, it's the kind of stuff where you can be like, what the fuck? You know, and then again, we never intended for trade to happen randomly like that. And like, you know, I don't haven't played Destiny.
We had rules for trade back in the day. Do you remember?
I think we had rules for stealing off each other.
Yeah. Oh, that as well. Yeah. But we also had rules for trade.
Did we?
Yeah.
I do not remember that.
You had to be, I remember this. You had to be on the same square.
Huh.
And then if both players were willing, instead of a steal, which could also happen, but, and you also had to be on the same square.
Yeah.
But instead, I think we were even like, when, I think we got to the point where we were like, where in the order of operations, where does trading with another player come in?
That's crazy.
But yeah, I remember we were like, you have to be on the same square. At the very least, we agreed that much.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I think we also, because you specifically love this as a concept, and I know why you love it as a concept, because you...
snake.
Yeah,
you're a snake in the grass, baby.
You always pay lost.
Yeah.
In any game, you always pay lost. And you loved that it could be like, I'll make you this deal today, and then tomorrow you do this thing for me.
Yeah.
But then, obviously...
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, kind of bullshit.
But in the rules, we specifically, because you wanted to write it like this, you specifically stated, but you don't have to keep to that.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, part of that, I think...
you will never honor an agreement.
Of course not. Which
you
is stupid,
never.
Because
snake.
It means nobody would ever make the trade with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think part of this... Part of this came from the fact that we wanted to adapt Jaren's Outpost, which was a game about lying and betraying each other and stabbing each other in the back. And we wanted to turn that into the board game.
100%.
That felt like a direct translation. But then basically it was this like, well, one, that's not the game we're making.
Yeah.
And two, it has to be a board game. You know what I mean?
Like, and you can make, party games, board games, that kind of stuff that, you know, require those, hidden roles, those type of things. Mm. There's many that are successful. But it was kind of like, if we're doing that, how do you add that to the pre-existing game we already have?
Yeah.
And okay, we've got to really kind of like, figure that one out. So we decided instead of going down the wheeling and dealing, we were like, all right, everyone is like, all the quests are available, which then also enabled us to go, right, well, what if we thought about multiple ways of finishing a quest?
Yeah.
Because, say, for example, we was like, all right, cool, Nine of the Town or whatever, which is like, all right, take Laura Fillmore to one of the trading posts, or to Little O's restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And that was the quest. And that was it.
Yeah.
And you only had one way of doing it. So the moment someone picked someone up, you're like,
well, I'm not doing that one. Yeah.
And so it was
now
like,
you can take
Little O's
restaurant to Laura
exactly. And so we're like, all right, well, what about we'll chuck Gregor in the mix, and then take them to either this place, and then like a lot of the quests will have the all right, this person or this person to this location or this item.
Yeah.
And so we tried to be like, all right, let's have multiple ways of trying to do this quest.
Yeah.
And that is also another way you can screw over your other player in a lot more of a feral way.
For sure. And it's this funny thing where, like, it feels like, oh, you've opened it up to everyone. Like, it's not, but actually, because you're often so, I mean, for me anyway, I'm so locked into, like, I'm going to get groggy at a Little O's restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't notice that, say, you happen to have a Laura Fillmore in your backpack and you're heading for, I don't know, somewhere else on the board, and then you're like, oh, I've completed the quest, and I'm like, fuck,
what, damn,
wait, how do you do it? Oh, right, yeah, of course. And then it's also funny, I think
that's why barbarian mode rules.
Yeah, well, that's true. Oh, they haven't said that,
and yet you really, really only won when you didn't go full.
You said it when you rinsed us, it was by going not barbarian.
Yeah, but I've got, if you count all of the quest points I've ever prestige points I've ever accomplished,
yeah, true,
I've accomplished way more. Prestige points.
He's right.
Doing barbarian mode. Yeah,
He's right, dude. He's got us there. There are a couple of things that were very late additions in terms of, and there were actually stuff that we were like, let's not do it. And then sort of very close to the end of the game, we were like, whatever. Like, which is, the one I'm thinking of is it being able to attack each other.
Yeah.
So that was a thing that we had early on, but we were like, well, you never really. It's so rare to encounter one another. And this was also back when everybody was quite slow.
Yeah, quite slow, and you had defense.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like a very complicated and kind of messy thing to attack someone. We were like, And then it got to, we refined the game, and it became this very playable, very quick sort of thing that it is now. And I remember you were doing some Photoshop thing for an item card or something, and you're just like, why not? Like, what's the problem with it?
Yeah, why are we restricting everybody?
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff.
Fair enough.
The thing we've been doing is really, like, making sure that like we were freeing people up to kind of do whatever we want. Like initially we had like the blank spell book being like a one and done. You use it once, it's out of the game for that whole game. You basically And it's like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you could, if you wanted to, like, sure, go to the, is it like Greg Piss's warehouse to look through the item decks. Like you use it. It goes to the item deck. You go to Greg Piss's warehouse. You roll. Mm. You pass the skill check, say. You can get it again.
Mm.
Well, whoop-de-doo, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, cool. Absolutely.
But thing is, sure, then you can do that and keep doing that. But you've still taken the time to go and do that.
For sure.
Which is like, yeah, someone else is now doing it, doing other things in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to me, it was kind of like, well, when, why restrict someone? If someone wants to play like that, that's fine.
Yeah.
And like same thing with, I think it was like the prestige, right? Mm. So with NPCs worth prestige, and it was just like, cool. Well, because the tavern, you'll always have like four players there. And we used to, you know, it's like, it's still, you know, it's like people in the tavern are friendly.
Yeah.
So, if they're hostile worth points and you go there and then you attack them, you get the upper hand because like you can land there, next turn, attack. So you don't get attacked. So you get the upper hand. And so initially it was like, well, people in the tavern aren't worth prestige.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why?
Yeah, exactly.
like we have enough NPC that they churn through. And if you wanted to counteract that, you can go in there, pick them up, drop them off, whatever.
Mm.
And you can do that. But so, like, if you want to do that and, like, gear yourself up and just camp in, like...
In the tavern and just beat the shit out of whoever's there. Yeah,
beat the shit out of every single one.
And as I explained, barbarian mode is pretty much the only way to play the game.
Exactly. It's the optimal meta.
Yeah. And so it's like, well, if you want to do that, great. You need to rely on a lot of luck.
Yeah.
Like you need to rely on A, you're hitting everyone that you're hitting, and B, that the people who are in the tavern are worth prestige.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you defeat them before the end of the day, because if not, they will go to the bottom of the deck anyway. Mm. So it's like, yeah, why restrict someone?
And I think there's this funny thing where, like, so, like, for attacking people in the tavern, we were like, yeah, it seems like it's an easy way to farm victory points, and there's no real downside. But I think a downside that we kind of didn't really think about until late in the game is just, like, is it boring? You know what I mean? And I think it kind of is sometimes boring to just go to the tavern and wait. You're not really engaging with the game. And then another thing with attacking each other, being able to damage each other, it doesn't really come up.
No.
Like, you can do it.
Why?
Why would you? And most of the time, it's pretty incidental if you decide to do it, which I think is the perfect place for a mechanic like that.
Yeah.
You could use it if circumstantially you've ended up on the same spot because you need to be on the same location, which is also kind of a rarity, the same spot as another player, and they're going for a quest you're going for, and they don't have much health left, and they will defeat this person or pick up the item, whatever, in the next turn, but you could kill them. Then maybe you might it might be worthwhile pursuing it as a strategy.
It requires, basically, you have to, I mean, like, you have to land on the same square. Mm. You have to, for whatever reason, you need to have an attack.
Yeah.
And you need to have it prepped for where a player who is also moving is going to be. So you, not knowing where they're going to be necessarily, you have to kind of pre-know where they're going to be. You have to feel confident to attack, obviously, which isn't always, even for the combat characters, it's not always a given
that
you're going to feel like, oh yeah, I definitely could, you know,
like
I definitely could defeat
them this turn or whatever,
You do also, need to, I mean, like, you don't need to be able to defeat them. Maybe just a bit of damage is enough to kind of do what you want to do, like have the effect you want. Maybe you just want them to drop an item or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, well, which then would maybe require you to be sharing a quest or...
Yeah, like
or
there's got to be some reason for you to do it in the first place.
It's such a hefty list of things that need to tick boxes,
but
which need to
happen. But then, like, kind of on the flip side, why not give people this as a tool in their arsenal?
Yeah.
Like, that's why it is in the game as a thing you can do, because it's like, well, circumstantially, you're probably not going to do it.
Yeah.
But...
if you want.
If you've come up with some strategy that involves doing it, like, we're not going to say no. Like,
why
not?
I think a huge part of the game is those little incidental things along the way where you're planning on doing some other thing. Maybe you're going to go pick up Knock Knock.
Yeah.
But on the way, you're like, oh, I've got a free interact.
Yeah.
I don't need this item, but who knows? Maybe I'll,
And it's the same thing. Like, if you've got, like, I think it's Leo Shadow has, like, the dash with a damage in the middle. Mm. And you're like, well... you know, I just happened to be passing by Adam, say, do I deal
you've
the damage to the NPC?
Something you literally have described happening to me by Joel Zami.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm going around. I don't really want to hurt the NPC. Yeah. I hurt my good friend Adam.
You know, and then it's just like, it's an extra little bit of fuck you. It's a little bit of player interaction.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, I think,
and so for me, it's like in the rule book, it'll be like, you know, PvP. It's like, look, yeah, it's possible. Follow the same rules as you do if you're attacking somebody, as in, like, you know, they consider them, you know, friendly until, like, you know, when you attack them, you know, you deal your damage. If they're not defeated, they deal their damage. So if they're holding weapons, you better believe you could be in real trouble. And kind of like, you know, just, I guess at the start of the game, be like, yeah, cool. This is what we, PvP is enabled.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what
I mean? That's kind of the way I look at it, to be like, hey, is everyone happy to punch on? You're like, yeah, all right,
great.
Cool.
You know,
because and like, again, you're right, as Adam is saying. Yeah. It is hard to make it like, okay, cool, we are doing this.
Yeah.
And like, you know, really going like a fine, like, yep, I am aiming for to attack somebody.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of the characters can just zip away.
Yeah.
I have to just don't think about it. Like, I play Knock Knock Heaps, who has that free just one point of damage.
Mm.
And I literally don't think I've ever passed by a player and been like, how many hit points do you have really quickly? Because that one hit point, it could make you lose an item.
Absolutely. And it's also funny to imagine, and again, this is, there's a real like freedom, I think, in this game to play however you want. And I love that this is now, that this is part of it. That if you theoretically wanted to, you could be like, I'm Leo Shadow and I'm going to get all of the daggers in the game, which I can discard for a damage.
And then
I'm just going to seek out someone and kill them. You could do that. That's fine. Like, that's the kind of freedom. In a really weird way, I think the Jaren's Outpost board game has this like open world life sim vibe to it, and that you can just do what you like, sort of, if you know, if you want. It might not help you win the game, but like, it's an option, you know. And it is the kind of thing that initially we were like,
didn't we also have like beating a player gave you prestige?
Yeah, I think early on. Yeah, it was something we discussed, kind of stuff like that.
And like, you know, the things you discussed really early, like, you know, so you get defeated. What's the, you know, is there a, you know, cool, you lose your items, you whatever, you lose the rest of your turns, but do you lose a prestige? And you're like,
I think that was when having the ability to hurt someone was a lot harder as well, because, and we've spoken about this, movement used to be like a lot simpler, or there used to be a lot fewer.
So move forward, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, that was left, right, that was it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of most characters now have like a move and attack sort of ability.
Yes. They'll have something in there that they can use to do damage and stuff.
So, it's a lot easier to cause a player damage. But back when we were considering prestige,
you would have to be like, you'd like land on the location.
It was really not a guarantee.
They're not going to move on their turn and then on your next turn do an attack.
Like, I do, because like, again, you try and think of like, because again, we mentioned stealing as an option before, because like now it's like you can go from like one location, and now they think there's like an NPC and some stuff as well. So it's like, cool, we've got some options there if you want to steal. But like initially, like, if you landed on the same character, like same space, and then you would roll, and then you're like, oh, cool, like I think it was a skill check.
Yeah.
And if you could pass a skill check, well, you can steal back. You know, you could steal from them.
Yeah.
And then the horrible thing happened.
Yeah.
Which was like, cool.
Steal for steal.
And it comes down to, this is boring.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because you're like, you know, you kind of want, all right, I've been stolen, like, you know, stolen from, okay, move on.
Yeah.
But then you're up against a, like, you know, a player who's like, no.
Well, I need that item, so I steal it back.
And I'm like, it's so good. And you're like, well, I want it. I'm stealing it back.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want it. And it was just, it was not fun.
Yeah, it was very
frustrating. And so you're like, okay, that sucked. How do you, you know, how do you go about doing this differently?
And then now, I love the surefire. I love going to that location and you like do the, you steal from somebody else and then you're like, am I going to move on or am I just going to keep robbing people?
And you're like, yeah, good. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jackson. Yeah, awesome.
That rules for me.
Do you remember when, I forget what location it was, and I was championing this for ages and we decided against it.
Yeah.
One of the other, it was another one of the Halfling family locations.
Oh, yeah, probably the Quiet Knife Jewel.
Where it was like, deal a damage to somebody.
Yes.
Instead of stealing. I was like, oh, go on there and deal a damage. And then we were like, well, somebody could just farm someone else.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Yeah, yeah. And then I think it was also this thing of like, well, because there's not really much to be gained from killing somebody or just dealing damage to a PC, and then to go there and deal damage to an NPC, it's kind of boring, so we just decided against it.
Yeah, because it was the kind of like, all right, you deal damage to a player character, like, eh, what's the point? And deal damage to, like, you know, an NPC or a player character, and like, yeah, so it's like, cool, but then the idea being, like, narrative would be like, oh, I'm going there and I'm hiring,
yeah, hiring an assassin or whatever.
A hit or whatever. And like, yeah, so do you do it, like, is it a roll with a skill check? Is it just like, you know, is it just an interact, like, that kind of stuff? And you could sit there and be like, from like, you know, any kind of defeat quest. You're like, okay, attack, 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 attack. Yeah. And there are, you know, players on the board that are just worth prestige as well. Maybe six on the board.
So you, so you can kind of like, it was like, oh, you just do it without a risk, really.
And you're like, is that fun? Because you got to, you know, it's like that weird thing of like, what's the meta? Like, you know, what's the quickest way of like, you know, the most banner points versus like, you know, the, because you, there are people who want to like, what's the optimal strategy?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Well, if I just go to this one place and I, all I spend my turns doing is like, you know, in four, in a day, I can do four damage anywhere around the board. And that's cool because some quests will be like, you know, defeat X many, like, you know, like a fort guard or this or that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, I'll just wait there. When I'm not doing that, I'll just like, you know, chip away at anyone worth a point. Yeah. And you're like, well, I guess you could.
You could, but like, is that
suck
fun?
As a person.
Yeah, is that like a fun time for everybody?
Like, you know, do we want that in there? Yeah. But instead, we were like, okay, what else can it do? And so we decided to, I think it's a another sort of transport, which is like, you know, go to the Jaren's Outpost.
Jaren's Outpost, which is very fun. It's a cool little addition.
I feel like there's been a few times where I've been, it's been, especially it's when it's been right next to Jaren's Outpost for some funny reason.
Yeah.
But there's been a few times now where I've been like, oh, actually, it's really useful. Even though it is right next to Jaren's Outpost, it's really useful that it's there because I've maybe got to move and interact or something like that.
Move,
and then it only gives me one extra movement. But
somehow
it can be
a difference.
Yeah, helpful sometimes. That's what I like about the, because we again did the, we did the sewers. We've done the Quiet Knife jewelers. Yeah. The getting around the board. Mm. Like, that was also like another issue like back in the day.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, how do you move around everywhere? And
it was especially when in the early days there was the exploration phase.
Oh, yes.
God, where it would be like, well, because it's so hard for anybody to get around the board.
Is this something that's already been discussed?
Yeah, I think I forget what episode we talked about it in. But yeah, it was like that corner of the board, everything still flipped over because nobody could ever get there. So it was like, well, what's kind of the point?
Yeah. So again, it was like, I like that we could, it's even though if you're maybe not a zippy character, you can still have like sort of transport
for
around
the playing
board.
Face down is lasted so long that we had it still existed when we first did repopulation.
Really?
When we first did repopulation, there was a huge debate. We were like, we had no idea which one was better, playing face down when you repopulated or playing face up when you repopulated.
That's so
I remember that debate.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Another way that we thought about screwing over each other that we then kind of it's a funny, a lot of things were taken out of the game, and then once the game was more solidified we were like, we could kind of like safely reintroduce them, was the idea of changing the way someone was facing or moving their movement cards around, because you pre-program your movement in the game, and so to have that in any way interrupted, especially early on in the game, was like horrendously debilitating. And I think again, the Quiet Knives Jeweler, when it was like, oh, let's not do damage, I think my next suggestion was like, well, maybe you can go there and maybe make someone rotate or whatever. And again, we were like, yeah, maybe not. But now we have a couple of like NPCs and stuff.
Like an NPC, I think we got either one or two, which is like, okay, cool. The idea is, and this is, I think, part of the stretch goal. The idea is that these characters, they are hostile.
Yeah.
And so to pick them up, because they'll have a discard ability, like a lot of like sort of items do, when you discard something, something will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these NPCs are like, cool, they are hostile. So if you pick them up, you're going to take damage, which to me kind of negates the other effect.
Mm.
And one of them is like, cool, pick them up, you take some damage, but then you could discard them. And I think one of them is like, another player cannot move from the location they're in for a turn. And another one is like, you know, you push them back one.
Yeah.
And so it's like pushing someone back one. Oh, that's so frustrating and annoying.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, you know, completely ruining the day. Maybe it is. But it costs you something.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And often like, you know, because I think some of it was like three damage and one of them was like quite a lot. And it'll cost you enough damage that like you might lose a bag slot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the, okay, cool. Well, there's this trade-off.
Yeah. And then with the other thing I think that changes your movement or does stuff with another player's movement, which is the medicinal herbs, which I think have been unlocked.
Yes.
Those make you another player repeat their morning action. Now, that is annoying, but it also could be very beneficial, which I kind of like. It's actually given another player a fifth move. It's just
is that, did you do something useful in the morning, kind of, you know?
Yeah. What I like about that is, like, oh, you could do it for yourself. Like,
yes,
again,
yeah,
a lot
totally.
Of, like, players, you know, like, say, move and interact. Like, say, move forward, interact. And if you want to do that again, you're like, sweet.
I take the medicinal herbs and I move forward and interact.
Yeah. And so I like that ability where you're like, oh, this will kind of, you know, screw over my opponents, but, oh, help me.
Yeah, and it's a very strategic one to be like, what has everyone else done in the morning? Where's, you know, oh, I know on, say, Zamet's next move, he needs to get away from the surgeon because he doesn't have much health left.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? You're attacking him again? You know,
yeah,
like,
it sucks to
oh,
you,
it sucks
to
you. Now he's killed you. Like, that's fun. I like that, you know. But yeah, we tried to have this balance between annoying and fun. And I remember a lot of discussion. That was like, that was the thing we would say. It was almost like a catch cry. It was like, is this annoying or is this fun?
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to tell. Like, it's hard to kind of throw that needle as well. Because I'm like, because we tried a bunch of different, like, you know, okay, well, this NPC, because, okay, when you discard them, whatever, like, cool, you'll, you know, go left or go right.
Yes.
Or you'll turn around or something like that. And we kind of was like, I don't know if it's fun or not.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of where we sort of fell on for a lot of them, and so kind of reduced it to only like a couple. But yeah, there's this kind of thing of like, you know, because again, when you're pre-programming, it can just really, really screw over someone's complete day.
Absolutely.
And I don't know.
And it's funny because that
I think it did fuck, because I've only played, I think it's only been played against me, sorry, is what I meant to say. I think it's only been played against me once.
Yeah.
The medicinal herbs?
The medicinal herbs. I think it fucked me from memory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it will.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's fun. But yeah, some other characters we had, or some other like sort of abilities, which was like, yeah, you can rotate someone 90 degrees or like make them face the day, and you're like, eh.
And again, but it's also this funny thing these days where a lot of the, like, oh, that's very annoying, came when you had movements that didn't do anything, or that, but we've really tried to balance the board out so that, you know, because in the game, you do get fucked over. You do, the quest you were halfway through doing gets done in the second round, and now you have two extra rounds where you've pre-programmed your movement, and you got to figure out something else. So there is still, like, and that's why we basically were like, oh, we can reintroduce some of this, because it was like, well, now you play your first move, somebody fucks you over and rotates you on the board or makes you, you know, whatever. You're like, well, I'll be able to figure something out.
Yeah,
you know
well,
what I mean?
Think
like,
what,
that's the kind of how the game works these days.
Yeah. I think what I like, because again, when it comes to like, you know, your movement stuff, I think it was like Knock Knock. Because again, she was very slow and she didn't have like, I think at one point she either didn't have like a right turn, like she didn't have like, she couldn't turn right or she couldn't go backwards, one of the two, whatever it was.
Funny.
And it was like really slow and annoying and you couldn't just do a, like, turn around and do a, like a circle, basically.
Yeah.
And so we're like, one of her abilities and very early on was like, just rotate 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And that was it. And even then we were just like, it was useful, but kind of a bit boring.
Yeah.
And then it was the, yes, Adam?
Sorry, I was doing this because I have no idea how to make this easy to, if it needs to be.
Yeah.
I got to pee really fucking badly.
Go piss, girl.
Okay. I hope this isn't
ruining my day. Go piss, go. People piss all the time in the podcast these days.
It's fine, man. We talk a lot.
Yeah. Whatever. We'll hold down the fort while you piss. Relax.
So it was just like, you know, 90 degrees. And then we were like, okay, what if anyone could just move 90 degrees?
Mm.
Like, the whole idea of, like, resting and that kind of stuff. Because it was either, like, you could rest and it was, like, you could heal yourself at one point.
Yeah.
And then it was like, or you could reorientate. And so that was two different actions.
That's right.
And it was only 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, why?
Yeah. And it's funny, I remember being very, in a kind of way where I can't really remember what my problem with it back in the day. I think I was just like, no, the you pre-program your movement and you suffer for it or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was,
and like, Jackson, is that annoying or
is that fun? Yeah, exactly.
And so then it was like, okay, cool. Well, why don't we instead, we combine that. So it's like, you can rotate like left or right 9 degrees and heal one.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point of like, why don't we just face any direction?
Yeah, you
and
can just
heal
change
one.
Your orientation and heal one.
Because I think that also relies on, like, again, the because when you have stuff that, like, you know, so you screw over your other opponent, and the person who's being screwed over, you need something.
Yes, yeah. You need some kind of recourse
of like,
to be like,
okay, either they've screwed me over, but they're suffering for it.
Yeah.
I.e., they've picked up something that harms them, but then it harms me.
Yeah.
Or it's like, well, I just got fucked over. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what can I do?
Yes,
what
absolutely.
I think the ability to kind of like, all right,
rotate
well,
on
I
the
know
spot,
what my next move is. I am losing this move. That's fine.
Yeah, but I can like set myself up for the next round. Yeah, because I think, you know, back in the day before we had that ability, and as well, especially when your cards were just like, move left or whatever, is that if somebody screwed you over turn one, you were like, literally the rest of my movement is worthless now.
You're like, sick. Can't do shit.
Can't do shit. Okay. I'm fucked over and it's not fun and I'm just frustrated or whatever.
Which is why I think even when it's like, you know, you get beaten to the quest, it's like, cool. Even if you lose that point or in like, you know, if you want to reorientate yourself in any way, ultimately you're only missing a turn.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because like, cool, well, I know the next card, which is great because I know me and you are very guilty of this, Jeff.
Yeah.
Which is like, well, I know I'm gonna move forward. These two things are gonna be interacts.
Yeah.
Or like an attack or whatever. So I don't care what I'm playing, so who cares?
Yeah, just put it down, it doesn't matter.
And the next one there.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, shit.
Okay.
The thing I want to do is now I can't do. Yeah. Or like,
what the hell are my movements going to be? Oh, fuck. Okay, I'll figure something out, dude. And it's funny as well, the screwing over people thing also, and I think we've talked about this on another episode, but that helped us with that last turn slump where on the last turn of kind of some board games, you're just like, well, what do I do? Like, I'm not going to win. So how am I going to make it fun for myself? And, to having this idea of like, well, in that last turn, you know, if you're not going to win, wreck someone else's day. That's when you're picking up the rock of whoops.
Yeah.
That's when you're picking up an NPC and discarding them so that your opponent doesn't get, you know, win by 4 points instead of two. So I think that's when you kind of tend to go ham. And like, it's a funny thing where you can screw over your opponents, but most of the time it is incidental.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're vindictive, you're...
Which, again, we've seen play, and I love
I think
that was a good turning point as well when we were demoing. I mean, we mentioned it before, but it was like, you know, seeing someone who was just like, oh, cool, well, it's the last turn, and this person's attacking. I'm just going to, you know, again, I'm going to camp on Greg Piss's warehouse where every roll of the dice, I can, like, look through the item deck. And they were like, yep, rock of whoops, rock of whoops, rock of whoops.
Mm.
And they were just like, you know, the other person just needed to attack once and actually succeed. And they were like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
There's a lot of that, I know. Except for me, because I'm delightful and I would never try to hurt my friends.
Course.
But I think the two of you really bully me in the in the last round. I actually, I said it as a joke, but I kind of am also being serious because I do notice that I, if I get to the last round and I've got a few free, you know, rounds or something like that, I'll be like, oh, I'll just sit here, whatever. Yeah. I typically, because I'm such a beautiful person, I would never use that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though, there is obviously, I absolutely could if I wanted to use that extra time.
That's what that time's for, baby.
Either how can I squeeze that one or two extra points, or how can I ruin someone else's day?
Yeah, dude.
And that's the two things. If I can't squeeze one or two extra
points, like, I'm wrecking someone's day.
How quickly can I get to, Greg Piss's warehouse? How quickly is that?
Yeah.
Well, where's that rock of whoops?
Yeah.
What are they going for? Are they attacking or are they doing skills? Yeah.
Oh, I'm heading straight to the Quiet Knives Jewelers and I'm taking that, you know,
but it
item
is funny because I'm such a good person that I literally never think of that.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. You should get such a good looking. It should be said.
Yeah.
Big dick.
Yeah. That was my next.
You fat hog.
Fat hog.
I think as well, you know, because it is sort of integral to the DNA of the game, hopefully when you're playing this game, you know what it's like going in.
Yeah.
You sit down your friends and you say, hey, this is a game about getting victory points.
And making you cry.
And making each other pissed off. You know how everybody says Monopoly wrecks friendships?
Yeah.
This game does that by design.
Monopoly doesn't wreck friendships because no one has a free 12 hours to play half a game of Monopoly.
That is true.
And again, and also, like, look, Jared's Outpost, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, of course.
You can, like, play, like, you know, very, like, you can all be like Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
You can all be very respectful.
A model citizen.
So, like, you know, because again,
it's Melbourne. Not of Jared's Outpost.
But yeah, because again, like, as you were saying, it was like a lot of the screwing over is incidental.
Yes, totally.
Because, like, you know, you are getting into your own head, like, all right, I go here. And then I get one, two. Cool, I can do two quests. Like, that's sick.
Yeah.
And then you've done that one quest. Well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Or at least I can do that. And you've done the other one.
Okay, fuck. Wasted day. What am I going to do instead?
Sick.
Where am I going?
Today is like round two and I have got nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's great. I love that going from like, cool, I planned that day. Yeah. I got everything sorted. I'm going to be like, you know, big dick swinging over here. Everyone's going to think I'm so good at that. I'm ruining it.
You're Macklemoring it. You've wrecked my life. You know what? out, you big bitch. Yeah. You've wrecked my life.
and that's what I like about it as well, because, like, you know, you can be vindictive, yeah, but you can also just not be, and also ruin someone's day.
Exactly. Like, that's kind of, yeah, and it's like, extremely, you know, open-ended. Mm. You can truly play any, yeah, way you like.
And
yeah,
it's like, it reminds me a little bit of that, like, you know, Ticket to Ride, if you, yeah, ever done, like, you know, and, like, you're trying to figure out your, you know, which route are you going down? And then someone nonchalantly is like, oh, yeah, no, I just go this here. Yeah. And you're like, why'd you do that?
You're like, because
you
you're
bitch,
not.
You bitch.
Because you're not, you big bitch.
Is it because you hate me?
Yeah,
is
that what's happening?
Like, why are you like, oh, I just, I don't know, I had some cards, yeah, I want to play. You don't even need for a route?
No. Nah, I just like, so put why it there? Down.
Yeah.
I don't know, I saw it. You know, you've ruined my
I
life.
I like the color blue.
Yeah, that's, yeah, fantastic.
Okay. Now another my route, option, which was going to take 4 trains, is going to take 16.
Super good for me.
Yeah.
And that's what I get. Yeah. That's that kind of feeling of like,
yeah. Because it's, you know, it seems like a negative feeling. But yeah, actually, it's what fun makes board games fun.
Yeah. And again, I've always loved this idea of like, okay, you've screwed me. That's great. Yeah. What have I got?
Yeah. What's what, my
what,
next
if, what is my genius? Like, what is my stupid brain plan for me?
Yeah.
How can I get out of this one, idiot?
And I will follow the cards to the best of my ability.
I will do what I can. And, yeah, that's what I like.
It's absolutely. Like, and like you said, you know, if you end up playing it with your friends and you're like, I don't want to do that, you're just at the beginning of the game. You say, hey, let's be nice.
Let's be nice.
What if we do a nice one, what you know? Nice. Or you say, hey, this is a game, yeah, where I'm going to go Fuck-a-mo Jones mode and everyone's going to suffer.
Like, yeah, photos, you do a nice one and you do a silly one.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the option,
like,
both.
Yeah, I do, like, I think we've mentioned it on the stream as well, but like in some other episodes, like, yeah, the there's like, again, we're talking about screwing over your friends. There's also, hey, let's have ways of countering this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the one thing that, like, you know, again, witnessing someone just completely ruin, like, one guy's day of like, rock of whoops, rock of whoops, rock of whoops. I was like, cool. But you can't counter that.
Yeah.
That in any true way, shape, or form. And it became a little bit like, yeah, okay, they're just taking the damage and nothing's happening. Like, what can you do? Because, again, it's that kind of thing where, and this is where they, like, you know, the one is always a fail. Come,
yes,
come
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you're going there, you're like, well, I attack. I don't need to roll, right? Because I just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I win. Yeah. And it's a bit boring. And so you kind of, like, in a similar vein, I was like, well, you need something to be able to carry out. Even if it's not a tangible thing, like 100% right away, something. And which we've now unlocked.
Yeah.
One of the items, which is the mirror. Which is, like, to reflect whatever it happens to you, you can make it happen to another player.
Yeah.
And it's worded so poorly.
Yeah, exactly. It's worded so vaguely, that it can be interpreted however you want.
Like. I initially was like, oh, I should clarify that.
Yeah.
And then Jackson grabbed my little hands and was like, no.
Put the keyboard and mouse down, my beautiful friend.
Yeah, hey, let's not make perfection get in the way of
that. Yeah, exactly.
It's already perfect.
It's finished. Let the people decide what it means. It's got nothing to do with us.
Exactly. You know what? Because, again, someone damaging you, that's getting affected.
Yeah.
Getting a victory, that's getting affected.
Exactly. It's up to the table, baby.
I hate that.
The table. I love it. Personally, Adam, I love it.
And I went, you know what, Jackson? You are correct.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to win anyway.
Done tootin', dude.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, it's like, yeah, it's that lovely little balancing of, like, sure, you can make as many different things to screw over your friends. Mm. Yeah. You also kind of need to kind of counter that.
Yeah, of course.
And that is either going to be through, well, what's the cost of fucking over my friends?
Yeah.
And also, hey, as the friend getting fucked over,
what can I do?
What can I do to stop that, or B, recover from it.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so I like to think that the game is balanced very nicely in that aspect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, again, thank you so much, everybody who has already pledged. Mm-hmm. There's still time.
Oh, yeah.
Keep pledging. Do not stop.
Yeah. It's crazy. Please do.
again, we can't believe how many people have already pledged. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's still a time of recording, I think, 2 weeks to go. Yeah. So, still a chance if this particular episode has won you over, you can head to Kickstarter, search for Jaren's Outpost, and pledge today. And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel Zammett.
I've been Adam Cannavale. If you've already backed but you haven't commented, comment.
Yeah, you got to comment, dude.
Also,
yes, darling.
Are we doing a push to get likes on?
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I think it's on Board Game Geek.
Mm-hmm.
You can. It's really it's annoying how they've framed things.
Yeah,
because it's not a like, which every other place has.
Oh.
It's a fan.
Okay.
So you can fan us on Board Game Geek, which this sounds terrible
to
say.
That's a baffling sentence.
You know when you give someone the thumbs up and you say, yeah, yeah, I'm a fan.
Exactly. This is a love heart.
I'm a fan.
Oh, it is love heart?
I'm a fan.
I've not looked at the icon properly, I'm going to be honest. You know how you have reading comprehension?
Yeah.
I have icon comprehension.
Somebody posts a smiley and you go, what the hell are they saying to me?
Yeah.
Are they happy? Are they sad? I don't know.
Could be anything.
But yeah, if you had to Board Game Geek and you fan us, which looks like liking but isn't.
Love will love heart. I did not realize I wasn't familiar 100% with Board Game Geek. Anyway, we were talking to our the people who were helping us with the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And you know, they were like, oh, you should do like some social goals basically.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you know, we get people to be like, oh, if X has Y, we get Z. And I'm like, okay, cool. I hate social media.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of social media now has gone down the toilet, and I'm like, what are we doing with social media? I don't know.
Blah. Yeah.
And so, because like in the past, people have been like, oh yeah, go to our Facebook page and, you know, give it a like. And once we get 1,000 likes or whatever, we'll, you know, because again, getting 1,000 likes on Facebook for something seemed pretty easy at
one
time. And so that was what I was going off. And so I was like, oh yeah, 1,000 likes on Board Game Geek? That should be easy, right? And
then
I had a look around, like, oh, not many. Oh, halve that to 500. And so I sent that out.
Yeah.
Then I got an email and being like, oh, it looks like 1,000's a bit too much. Maybe aim for like 100, 150.
Yeah.
Oh, I see you've already done. Oh, well done, idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm insane.
They called you an idiot?
No, I'm calling me an idiot. Help me prove me right, wrong.
Help,
I don't know.
Help us prove us right.
Yeah.
By going to BoardGameGeek.com, finding Jaren's Outpost, fanning it.
Yes.
And if we hit 500, we will add a new location to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of those people who are fanning it, one of you will be allowed the privilege.
Randomly selected
to play the Jaren's Outpost board game with us on Tabletop Simulator with the three boys in the fucking room. Right now.
Am I allowed to encourage something that's against a website's terms and conditions? No, even worse than the law. Yeah. A website's terms and conditions.
Oh, maybe not.
Okay.
Yeah, be careful. Easy now.
Yeah.
We don't want to get shadow banned from...
The internet.
But yeah, once again, that's BoardGameGeek.com. Search for Jaren's Outpost.
Mm-hmm.
Fan us, which looks like liking, but is secretly fanning.
Yes.
We're trying to hit 500, and also you'll go in the running to play the Jaren's Outpost board game with the three of us boys on board games.
TabletopSimulator.com. Tabletop Simulator.
Fuck you both. And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Adam. This is the second time we've done this.
Joel, I'm trying to wrap up.
Yeah, well, you did a poor job.
I did my pee. I don't need to leave. I could stay for another hour.
Goodbye.
See ya.
No.